Hello and welcome to the Nature of You podcast, episode 1, My Lifelong Journey with PCOS. Hello, beautiful beings. Welcome to the Nature of You podcast. I'm so excited to be launching this podcast finally, because I have so much amazing stuff that I want to share on. And I've got so many amazing people that I've met all over the world who I plan to have on this podcast to share amazing information that is going to support each and every one of you. So in case this is the first time you are hearing my voice, let's start with some of that practical introduction stuff. My name is Sarah and I'm from Canberra, Australia. And so I am a certified health and life coach and a detox specialist. And my current area of specialty is women's health. So I'm often working with women who are facing hormonal imbalance disorders such as polycystic ovarian syndrome or endometriosis or infertility. Although I also work with women who are simply just feeling stuck, you know, they're just over it. They're feeling a lot of fear, a lot of insecurity, no self-worth, and just ready for that major breakthrough that they know is going to up-level them to the next stage of their life's journey, because there is nothing more frustrating than feeling deep within yourself how amazing and incredible you are, but feeling like you can't quite access that power and put it out there to the world and create the life that you absolutely love, you know, your dream life. So this is what I dedicate my waking hours to nowadays, you know, to be of service to the other beautiful women on this planet. And I'm also what you could call a digital nomad, which means I run my own online business and I travel the world exploring all kinds of beautiful locations in which I will live there for around 3 to 6 months at a time. And I will remain there until my intuition gives me a nice little tap on the shoulder, letting me know that it's time to relocate somewhere new to further my own personal evolution and to further the evolution of my business offerings. So my life has become a complete surrender experiment in which I'm just totally devoted to following my internal compass in every single moment of the day, whether that is deciding what I'm going to eat for lunch or where I'm going to walk, what I'm going to do, who I'm going to speak to. And so I'm going to be talking more on this topic of living a surrendered life, because trust me when I say this was not always the case. You know, I was the biggest control freak. Every single aspect of my life was micromanaged and controlled to the T. I had no idea how to not be in control. And so, you know, the reason why I ultimately let go of all of these controlling ways was because it led me into the arms of destruction and sickness. You know, I was being led into the realms of fear and depression and a lot of anxiety. And, you know, this cocktail of experience ultimately led me into total body breakdown. So this is what I'm going to be sharing on in today's episode. You know, for those of you who know my YouTube channel, you'll know that I often offer a lot of insightful information about the healing journey I've been on, but I'm not often sharing in depth about my own personal journey. And so I really want to share on that today, because for many of my listeners, you will be on the healing journey yourself. And it's always so reassuring to hear someone who's been on a very similar journey to you in some ways. And so I want to share in depth what has been happening for me in the current years of my life and what has led me to where I am today. And so, you know, looking back is not always an easy thing. You know, it really isn't. And it really does take a lot of maturity, emotional maturity and awareness to be able to go back and put all of these pieces of the puzzle together. Although it's so important because it really helps you to understand the imbalance in your body, the imbalance in your emotions, and the imbalance in your life. We've always got to go back and, you know, look at things, not to hold on, not to judge, not to criticize, or to think that shouldn't have happened, or I'm a victim because this has happened to me. No, that's not what I'm talking about at all. looking back with love and feeling empowered to do so, to realize that, you know, looking back isn't about holding on. It's about letting go. Looking back is putting it together and developing newfound awareness to understand and find love and compassion for yourself and your current, you know, condition of your mind and your body, to understand that everything is cause and effect. You know, everything that is showing up in your reality in the present moment is because there has been a cause earlier down the line. Energetically, something has happened. You've done something, you've eaten something. Everything has had an ultimate cause, which has had an effect on your body later down the line. And this isn't to blame yourself, but it's to feel empowered that you can change this. You can reverse all of this, just like I have. And if it's not health issues you're facing, then remember that you can master your own mind and your emotional body, and you can really start living in a state of being, a state of emotional wellness that feels really bright and uplifted. And you don't have to live with anxiety and pain and all of this inner turmoil that is just all of this internalized pain that's holding you back from who you truly are. So let's dive in. You know, I think for many of us, it's going to start from being a young child. It really does. For many of us with genetic weaknesses, it starts when you're in your mummy's womb. Anything that she's feeling about herself, or anything that's happening energetically in her life, or anything she's eating, anything she's doing, that's ultimately going to imprint and have an effect on you and the biochemistry within your own being. So I was not a terribly sick child, but I definitely wasn't well. I was always foggy, always tired, always falling asleep in class. When I came home from school when I was about 4 or 5 years old in kindergarten, I said to my dad, "Hey dad, what does being off with the fairies mean?" And he was like, "Oh sass, why?" Meaning, you know, for any of you who don't know, off with the fairies means you're just dazed out and you're just not focused, you're not present at all. He was like, "Why do you ask that, sass?" And I said, "Well, my teachers have been telling me that I'm off with the fairies." And he just started to laugh. And really, you know, that is just really sums up my experience of being a child. I was like always out of it. And I had a lot of back pain. And, you know, past the age of about 9 is when I started to gain a little bit more weight. I had been a slim child, but then from 9 onwards, I started to gain weight because I was addicted to food. Growing up, since my earliest memories, I was always, always overeating. I had no off button. I didn't know when to know when I was full. I didn't know when to stop. I would just overeat all the time. And so, you know, being addicted to food led me to, when I was about 11, I started getting bullied at school a little bit for being, you know, chubby kid. And so I put myself on my first diet when I was 11. I came home from school and I said, "Mom, I'm going on a diet." And she was like, "Okay, honey, do whatever you want to do." And so I got up early the next morning and I packed my little lunchbox with carrots and celery. And can't remember how long that lasted for, probably not long. But, you know, I went on this roller coaster ride with food and this addiction. And, you know, food made me feel safe. It made me feel whole in some way, at least for a fleeting moment it did. It made me feel really excited and, yeah, fulfilled in so many ways. And I think that's the case for many of us. I think so many humans on the planet are addicted to eating, and it's because we're programmed to from such a young age. You know, we cry and we're put straight onto our mother's breast and fed milk, or we fall over and we're given a lollipop to take the pain and the tears away. You know, we're programmed, we are literally biologically programmed to want to eat when we're feeling anything intense that we don't really want to be feeling. So then I moved into my older years, and, you know, I was bullied a little bit in high school, quite a bit actually, physically bullied, and I was actually put into hospital a couple of times because I was, you know, just my experience, it was relevant for my life journey to come into a group, a contact with a group who just continued to, bully me throughout these years of my life. And I was just very, very unhappy in my teenage years, very, very unhappy. And I had gotten my period at age 11, and so by the age of 13, I had matured so much more than everyone else my age. Like, I looked about 19 or 20 years old from the time I was 13, and so that meant that I could start going out clubbing, because the age of, you know, being able to go out in Australia is 18. So if I was with the right group of older guys and girls, I could get into clubs. So I started to become a huge party girl and landed myself in some really dangerous situations. And, you know, I became very rebellious in my teenage years and I was totally checked out, you know, like looking back on those years of my life, it was, my experience was like I was watching everyone around me grow up and get good grades and do amazing things and blossom into these beautiful people. And it was kind of like I was watching them, but I was on the outside. And I didn't actually know how to check in and participate in life as a functional human being, you know? And I think this really was ultimately a lot of the brain fog I was experiencing. I was already experiencing health issues and I had no idea. I had no knowledge or education about nutrition or what my diet was doing for my body or how that would make me feel mentally or emotionally or how that would impact my focus or my sleep or my energy levels. So I just kept on plodding along and, you know, I had a lot of brain fog. And so then we get into, you know, the later years, which is a very pivotal, whatever that means. It was a very pivotal time around 18 years for me, because this is when what I like to call my pretty girl persona was activated, which I'm going to do another podcast episode on, likely with my sister, because she's another great person to speak to on this topic as she's had a very similar journey. Although essentially, you know, long story short, the pretty girl is my ego personality, my alternate ego that comes through, and her main driving goal in life is to be beautiful because she believes that ultimately that's where she receives worthiness, validation, and ultimately love. So the reason why she was activated is because when I was going into grade 12, my mum took me outside. She said, "Sass, you've gained a lot of weight, hun. You're going into your last year of school. I think it's really important you lose weight." And in that moment, it was like the glass shattered. I was like, "What? I've gained weight?" I had no idea. You know, I'd been dating this chef and we'd been partying a lot. I'd been eating tons and I had no idea. You know, I was not one of those teenagers that was like looking at my body being like, "Oh, you know, there's something wrong with me." I mean, of course I had that program, but at the same time I was very aware. I was like comfortably numb in many ways. So then the glass shattering moment happened and I weighed myself and I was 84 kilograms, which is 184 pounds. And mind you, I am nearly 5'10". So it's not like I was obese, although I was definitely overweight for my natural body type. So this moved me into the next, you know, I flung from the extreme of not caring how I looked or what I was eating, and I flung to the opposite extreme in which I became obsessed with being beautiful and thin. And so I went on something called the body trim diet, which is literally you only eat protein. You eat 50 grams of protein every meal. So I was like weighing out 50 grams of tofu, 50 grams of ground beef. And literally that's like all I would eat. And I became obsessed with just, you know, I did that one for probably a few months, lost a lot of weight, and then just became obsessed with like yo-yo diets. You know, I was still binge eating, but majority of the time I was dieting. So I became very slim. I became a gym junkie. You know, I was doing spin class like 6 times a week minimum. And this worked because, you know, my friends who were already 18, they had turned 18 in January and February, and I didn't turn 18 until September. And all of the laws around going out underage had become a lot more strict. So I had the most part of 6 months to work on myself and to step into the most pretty girl's, the pretty girl's most ideal identity, which was to look and feel like Barbie. So I was taking care of myself, but not from a health standpoint whatsoever. You know, I was taking care of myself by starving myself, by binge eating, by flogging my ass at the gym, and just by doing a lot of online shopping, dyeing my hair, you know, fake tanning my skin. And so silly season came around. Us Aussies call summertime silly season, which means all of the festivals start. Literally from November to February, we all have the summer off and we just party all summer. And so this is what happened for me over that summertime. And, you know, people started to notice me a lot more. I started to receive a lot more attention, a lot more male attention, because I had lost over 30 pounds. I had a brand new wardrobe. I had a fake tan, you know, my long blonde thick hair down to my butt. And, you know, I was ultimately, like, my pretty girl persona was fully active, and she really just felt worthy. Finally, she felt totally worthy. She had gone from years of her life feeling, you know, overweight and unworthy. And finally, like, a purpose in my life came about. There was this real purpose, and it was revolving around being beautiful. This is where I received all of my feeling of being worthy, a worthy participant of the human species and of this experience we're having. I was like, yeah, I'm part of this. Although my entire identity was built around being beautiful and looking like Barbie. And so the pretty girl came on strong for the next 5 years, from around 18 years old until around 22 years old. Even as I moved through university, my entire life was just about online shopping and keeping my tanned, lean, fit body in shape, and my hair as long as possible and as blonde as possible. And, you know, just, I was total Barbie doll, and I really looked the part. And if you go on my Instagram, you'll find photos. You'll have to scroll down a bit, but you'll see, like, I was obsessed with being this pretty girl. And so I graduated uni and I became an event manager and started event management for a rugby team in Australia called the Brumbies. And then I eventually moved to Sydney and became an event manager for a cruise boat in Sydney, Darling Harbour. And so from the outside, my life looked like a dream, of course, you know, as it always does on Instagram and on Facebook. I looked beautiful. I was always in a long-term relationship. And when I was single, I was often dating three guys at a time. I'd accumulated a wardrobe fit for Malibu Barbie herself, and I had beautiful clubbing dresses in literally every color of the rainbow. So my Instagram was flooded with all of these pictures, and so I looked the part and I looked super happy, although the truth is I was so disconnected from myself and my body and my emotions. And any time a heavy emotion rose up, you know, I had no idea how to process it or face it. So I would either just eat something I loved, or I would just drown it out with a bottle of wine with a girlfriend. And so I moved into, you know, what I would call extreme bursts of rage and anger, because there was so much internalized insecurity and fear and pain living within me that I was masking with living this life being devoted to being beautiful and being Barbie. But there was all of this unprocessed junk living within me that when I would drink, it would come out and it would be projected very strongly onto my loved ones, like my sisters or my best friends. So I lost a handful of my very close friends because of these intense, drunk, raged fits of anger that would come out. And so this is what happens. You know, I had no idea, like, when you internalize all of this pain, it's going to have to come out at some point, and it will usually come out when you're drinking. So if you've ever been around someone who's like, they drink alcohol and they just go like dead behind the eyes and they start crying or they start becoming angry, you know this person is internalizing a lot of fear and insecurity and pain that's just coming out, and the alcohol's kind of this medicine in a weird way for them to start feeling it. So this is my life, you know, this is what was happening for me. And I was incredibly insecure and really jealous in my relationships, which meant that I would often go for men who I knew were far less attractive than me, solely because I could not handle the idea of him even looking at another woman and finding her more attractive than me. Because what did that mean for the pretty girl? You know, that meant death. And it's very, you know, it's very vulnerable for me to admit this, but I honestly, for these years of my life, I did not know how to not be the prettiest woman in the room. You know, I could go to parties, I could go places, and I would subconsciously scan the entire room, and I would, this is how insecure I was, you know, and I would rank myself physical appearance wise against all the women in the room. And if I could rank myself as the most beautiful, then I felt safe, and then I could socialize and I could be my outward self. Although if there was even one person, one woman in the room who I felt that was higher on me on the prettiness hierarchy scale, or at least the pretty girl's hierarchy scale, then I would feel insecure, unworthy, you know, completely debilitated and paralyzed by insecurity, and just felt like inward, and I couldn't really come out of my shell and talk to people and be confident in myself until I had downed a bunch of liquor and a bunch of alcohol and just felt like more confident and radiant. But until then, it's like I was completely crippled with fear and insecurity. And so, you know, aside from being really insecure, I would wake up in the mornings and oscillate between feeling this dullness and this numbness, just to a feeling of complete anxiety, like a big elephant had found me in my sleep and just decided he wanted to sit his big old butt down right down on my chest for the next 12 hours. That was the feeling I was experiencing, like this thing in my chest, but I had no awareness to go into it and to resolve it and to release it. You know, I didn't even know what it was. I didn't even know it was there. I was just running about life in this overactive nervous system, sympathetic nervous system. And I just had no idea. I really had no idea. And I was also still dealing with major eating disorders, although I would have never admitted that to myself. You know, I was on an incredibly low carb diet, just eating fat and protein during the week. And then come Sunday, I would binge eat on every single food I could get my hands on, every food that I'd craved throughout the week. So I would literally eat for 16 hours straight on spring rolls, nachos, chips, cheese toasties, so many cheese platters. Oh my goodness, so much cheese, chocolate ice cream, literally everything I could get my hands on, 16 hours straight, not even like breakfast, lunch, dinner, like literally all day, to the point of feeling so sick. And I would drown all of that food down with a bunch of more wine or cider, lying by the pool with my friends and my sisters, you know, just trying to mask the hangover that my body was experiencing. And my body's trying to detox from all of this stuff, and I'm just not wanting to experience it. So I was just eating more, drinking more alcohol, just wanted to always keep on drinking so I didn't have to face the next day of just feeling that emptiness once more. So, you know, I went from not really taking care of my body growing up. Of course, you know, my mom, bless her, loved me and my sisters so much. So she'd give us pretty much anything we wanted to make us happy in terms of food. And she did that to our family dog as well, Zach, and he died and he was really fat. So it just shows you, like, we're not meant to just eat whatever we want to eat. Food is nourishment, and food can be a source of, you know, nourishment, or it can be a source of depletion. It can break you down or it can build you up. And I wasn't really educated about these things. I really didn't know how to use food as a source of fuel and love and energy for my body to build itself up. So I was on this path of continuously breaking my body down. And so, you know, I was abusing my body from the age of about 13 for the next 11 years. I was abusing my body by not listening to the signals that it was tired, and not stopping eating when it was full, eating huge amounts of dairy and sugar and all this processed junk, and drinking to the point of blacking out most weekends, and taking all kinds of drugs and amphetamines on a weekly basis. And most of all, you know, I really was disconnected from my emotions, remaining in toxic relationships that were so emotionally and sometimes even physically abusive. And, you know, the worst part was, is that I would allow myself to become so stressed, I would not pull myself out of my stress. I would just allow myself to go down that rabbit hole to the point where sometimes my fingertips or my scalp would go numb, you know, and that's a sign of really, really serious anxiety. But I was allowing myself to live there. You know, I didn't know that I had a choice to get out, and I did not know what that amount of stress and anxiety was doing to my beautiful body. So, you know, over the summer of 2013, it was a stressful summer. I left a 3-year-long relationship and moved out. You know, one of those relationships where it's completely toxic and ruined, and we think, hey, let's move in together, it's going to fix everything. And it doesn't, of course. So I moved out, and shortly after landed myself in a relationship, not even a relationship, more just like a dating disaster over the summer. Completely stressed out of my mind, spent the whole summer either drunk or having fits of anxiety. And so then at the start of 2014, I moved to Sydney to become an event manager for a cruise boat on Sydney Darling Harbour, which was a highly stressful job, just adding to the, you know, the complete like cocktail of stress hormones that were already moving through my system. So my first real serious health issue started at this point in time, because I'd always experienced a bit of hormonal acne and really bad cramps and these things, but it was so normalized in the society. You know, the society that we live in does normalize cramps and hormonal acne. We just say, put them on the pill. And, you know, I'd been on the contraceptive pill since I was 14 years old. So this was why I could eat like this and party like this and not have serious problems with my body, because the pill just masks everything. The pill masks everything. You could be having food allergies and you wouldn't even know because the pill will mask it. Meanwhile, your gut is being completely depleted and all of your B vitamins are being depleted and all these things are happening to your hormones and we have no idea. Yet every single doctor is handing out the pill like there's no tomorrow to people at the age of 12, 13, 14. So then some pretty serious health issues started to show up. I had just moved to Sydney and I noticed something on my scalp. It was like dry, itchy. It turned out to be psoriasis, but it took me probably a whole year to work that out because not a single dermatologist could tell me. And I went to over like 4 different dermatologists, spending over $300 each time. By the way, I swear, I don't mean to be rude, but dermatologists are the most ridiculous doctors in the entire world. They literally have no ability to see that everything that's happening on the skin is happening internally. Like, they are completely educated in the notion that your skin is just clogged pores. I'm sorry, but that is insane. So I was wasting all my money on seeing dermatologists, and I went on over 10 antibiotic creams for this psoriasis on my scalp because my hair had started to fall out a lot. In handfuls at this time. And so I put 2 and 2 together and I thought, hey, this scalp condition is causing the hair loss. So I was freaking out about the scalp, not knowing anything about hair loss and hormones. Went to several different doctors, probably 7 different primary care physicians, and they kept saying, stay on the pill. It's the best thing you can do. Oh, perhaps it's your thyroid. Let's do your blood work. Oh, it's not your thyroid. Just stay on the pill, you know. Oh, why don't you do a bit of this or a bit of that? Oh, go on Rogaine. I think it's called Rogaine. I nearly went on this, and then lucky I checked the packet. It says, only works for the time that you're actually using it. Then the hair will fall out again. And I was like, oh my God, that's not even an option. So I was not getting any answers from the medical community. Like, they were completely in the dark about everything I was facing. And so I ended up having all of this depression wave over me because the pretty girl identity was starting to die. You know, she had built her entire identity for the past 5 years on being beautiful, and her hair and her skin and her slim body, all of these things, and the attention she received from men and on social media and all of these things. And that was falling apart, and a huge darkness was starting to come upon me. And so I quit my job as the event manager because it was so stressful. And I was like, I just need to figure my stuff out. So I just became a bartender, and my days were just moving from the bar to parties to laying on the beach, and I was totally confused and feeling really unfulfilled and purposeless. And so this is when I can feel that my soul was starting to speak to me and was telling me it desperately wanted something more from life and that this wasn't going to cut it. And so then the J-1 visa landed in my hands. A friend was on one living in America, and I realized that I could move overseas and live there for a year. And so I hadn't traveled much at all, really anything. And so I decided, oh, I'm going to move to America, become an event manager and be a successful businesswoman. And, you know, this is how I'm going to find my new identity, because, you know, the old one was dying. And for those of you who are not familiar with Eckhart Tolle work, his work, go find it, because he explains the ego in such great depth, and it's so perfect the way he describes it. And it's so true. You know, the ego, this mind of ours, it needs identity. It needs something to latch onto, whether that's a job or whether that's being intelligent or beautiful, whether it's your success and your achievements, your accomplishments, or your material possessions. The ego needs something. And if it doesn't have that something, it dies. Although that's not a bad thing, although when it is happening, it does feel like a bad thing. It feels very painful. So my whole pretty girl persona was dying slowly but surely. You know, my hair was falling out, and I would get out of the shower and collapse onto the tiles and be hyperventilating with tears and crying, thinking like, oh my God, if I lose any more hair, I'm going to literally die. So I was becoming, you know, and this was cycling. So it would get better and then it would get worse. It would get better, it would get worse. And so then I ended up moving to New York. I chose New York because, you know, a few different reasons, including I went to my grandma's house and she pulled out this book that was made at my auntie's funeral. My auntie had died of alcoholism, And everyone at her funeral wrote in this little book a love letter to her. And one of her ex-husbands, who she'd met in New York, had written her this love letter saying, "I met you in the bar and you were astonishingly beautiful, and I could see you from across the bar, and I heard your Australian accent, and I was just drawn to you, and we had this wild time in New York together." And it was this beautiful love story that I just fell in love with. And I was like, maybe I will meet the man of my dreams in a bar in New York. So nevertheless, I ended up choosing New York. And prior to me leaving New York, a month before leaving, pretty much to the day, I decided to go off the contraceptive pill after being on it for, I think, like eight years or so. Had no idea that you should never just come off the pill without going on a healing protocol first. Like, was completely clueless about everything still. So came off, everything's fine. Period was a little abnormal. It stopped coming altogether. And I was like, oh, that happened to my elder sister. It will probably just take 6 months to regulate. So then I moved to New York and life becomes super exciting. And, you know, everything went away. It's like the hair loss stopped shedding, my skin cleared up. Everything just clicked in New York for me, which, looking back on it now, I can see it's like I was really meant to be there, and I was really meant to go on the journey that I was about to go on, despite how dark it really did get. So for the first 6 months, it was amazing. You know, I found a job within like 5 weeks, which is unheard of for a foreigner in New York. And it was a really good job, like a high-end New York job, working for a digital startup, you know, working at huge events, working with celebrities, and working for not-for-profit charities, raising money at their galas. So it was this amazing job. And then I met this amazing man, a professional baseballer who was playing out in Long Island, and we started dating and had this beautiful romance. And he broke his hand from a fly ball in August and then ended up just moving into the city with me. So he lived with me from August to October, and I was still not treating my body well, especially with him there, because we were just drinking red wine and playing board games at nighttime, and he would cook me dinner after I got home from work, and I was still highly stressed at work, really, really stressed, and hadn't found meditation or hadn't found ways to de-stress myself yet. And so my skin started to break out, you know, and my hair had been falling out in cycles, although my skin started to like really break out, like getting to beyond the like severity it had ever been before during like a regular monthly period breakout. And my weight was still okay, and there wasn't a lot of dark hair on my body. Although around the time he left in October, I literally swear I got polycystic ovarian syndrome almost overnight, or at least this is how it appeared. Like, he left and the next morning I started, you know, and I started a huge detox. And so I had all of these detox symptoms show up. And like in the span of a week, I literally, my entire face was covered in severe cystic acne that was so swollen and painful. It's like I had to take Advil to fall asleep because I could feel like this pulsating pain all in these cysts all over my face. And then my hair starts another shedding cycle and is like falling out in handfuls, like completely clogging the drain. And then suddenly it's like my weight was completely out of control. I was working out. I wanted to lose a bit of weight, working out 6 times a week, gaining weight from my workouts. And I'm eating a low calorie diet and I'm continuing to gain weight. Like, I still have no idea how PCOS or hormonal imbalance works. And so then I book in to, and I still hadn't had my period since March and now it's October. So I book in to see the best OBGYN doctor in New York because I'm like, what's going on? So she couldn't get me in for another 2.5 months. So I waited until mid-December. And in the meantime, like, this huge depression came over me because my partner had left back to Florida and my body fell apart. I couldn't digest any food. You know, I was living off like 5 foods. I couldn't lose any weight. I was exhausted. Anytime I went to the gym, I no longer had that like high and that buzz from going to the gym. Instead, I was just crying and depleted and so exhausted, and working out didn't make me feel good anymore, having no idea that I had really severe adrenal fatigue at the time. And having all these digestive issues, constipated or having really bad diarrhea and cramping in my stomach, no longer being able to digest anything like nuts, beans, seeds, grains. I'm not able to digest anything that I've been able to digest before. So it was like coming off the pill, it just took a little while. And then because I didn't do some kind of healing protocol or taking care of my body, what happens next is everything that the pill had been masking all those years came to the surface. And so all my symptoms came on. And in December, I finally had my doctor appointment, and she immediately, I walked into her office, she goes, "You have PCOS. I can tell just looking at you, my goodness." And I was like, "Okay, what does that mean? What do I do?" She was like, "Well, we're going to do a sonogram to," and I say this in this stern voice because she was a very stern woman. You know, there wasn't much love. There was no softness. I had no mum because my mum's in Australia and I'm in New York, and I'm desperately hoping I can walk into this woman's office I've been waiting to see for 2.5 months, and she's going to say, "It's okay, honey, come here. I'm going to give you a hug. Here's the magic antidote that's going to make all of this go away. Everything's okay." So that was my dream reality. The reality of the situation did not quite match up to that because she was very rushed and abrupt and blunt and just, yeah, no empathy, no gentleness or softness or maternal energy whatsoever going on there. So I say, "What do we do? What do I do to get out of this?" And she goes, "You go on the pill." And I said, "No, thank you. What's another option?" And she was like, "What do you mean, no thank you? You go on the pill. All this is, you realize this is an incurable disorder of the endocrine system. You do not go on the pill. You'll get obesity. You put yourself up there for breast cancer. You know, you can get cervical cancer. What about type 2 diabetes? Like, you're putting yourself in all the risk brackets." And at this point, I'm like, I swear I left my body. Like, she's like saying things at me, and I went past the point of breakdown and mental like breakdown to the point of like my spirit left my body, and I was just watching my body, watching this girl, this young girl in this body with acne, hair falling out, bald spots, dark hair all over the body, just she was falling apart, and this woman's telling her that she has no choice but to go on the pill. And so we do the sonogram, and I had cysts covering my ovaries, and I just sit there and I was like, "I give up. I don't know what to do anymore. I give up of this life. I've lost everything that ever meant anything to me, and I don't know who I am anymore because my identity is being completely lost, and I feel lost, and I feel like this PCOS has taken everything from me, and I give up. I give up." And so I left her office and walked down Fifth Avenue crying my eyes out, and walked into Duane Reade to pick up my pill prescription, and something rose in me, something that I had never experienced before, but I like to believe it was my intuition. It came up and it said, "No, you're not going on that pill. Walk away right now." And I was like, "Whoa, whoa, what is that? What is this telling me to do something? No, she told me I need to go on the pill, but what have I got to lose? I can always pick this up later this afternoon. Just walk away. Let's just go for now." So I walk all the way back to my office and I pick up my computer and just say bye to my teammates. "I can't do this. I'm going back to work from home." And I open up my Google browser and type in healing PCOS naturally. And, you know, that one Google search was the search that changed everything for me, because I finally could see, hey, she wasn't right. There are people out there that are doing this. Maybe it is an incurable endocrine disorder, but, you know, there are other people who are doing this the natural way. Maybe I can do this the natural way. So I didn't pick up the pill prescription, and, you know, this just started the next 16 months of living in New York and being on a crazy healing journey, becoming this like obsessed detective. You know, I lost everything that I'd ever cared about. I stopped partying. I stopped seeing all the people I had met in New York and who I'd made these really shallow materialistic connections with. And I really didn't leave my house. You know, we went into the colder months from October, the time this started to happen, until next April, it's cold. And so I went into like this deep depression, this deep inward internal period of my life. But I also became obsessed with learning about the human body, learning about biochemistry and hormones and the nervous system. And, you know, during this, over the next 16 months of this journey in New York, I studied to become a holistic health coach and essentially just faced the most intense loneliness and deep darkness of my entire life and faced the pretty girl and watched her die and die and die again and again. Every time she looked in the mirror, every time she showered and looked in the mirror and discovered new bald spots, discovered new cystic acne, discovered new weight gain, discovered new hair around the nipples, on the chest, on the chin, she was dying because she could not believe that life was worth living if she was not this beautiful, feminine looking Barbie doll. And now Barbie was transitioning into Ken. She was transitioning into a man and she was dying and it was painful. Although what came from this complete loss of identity was immense, immense beauty. So I had been meditating from October, which is when I started to really commit to healing my body, and I started to understand, okay, I notice my acne comes up when I'm in a stress response. So I really started to put the pieces of the puzzle together to form this equation that stress was responsible for a lot of what was happening in my body. So I started to meditate and I started to have some really beautiful experiences when I committed to meditating, even just for 10 minutes every single morning. So I started to experience this really beautiful peace for the first time in my life and just started to feel really calm throughout my entire day. No matter what was being thrown at me, it's like I could remain in this calm state of being. And so I was no longer really identified with the pretty girl. So this was very painful at first, but it also made me much kinder. And, you know, anyone who has faced depression or experienced that themselves, they know that your empathy levels skyrocket when you face any kind of darkness within yourself, because you can really just have so much more empathy for anyone who's also moving through a dark period. So with this whole thing that was unraveling with my PCOS and being depressed and being alone in New York and the big ego death that was happening, something really beautiful started to happen, in which I started to become really, really beautiful. Although from this time, it was from the inside out rather than from the outside in. So this is when I started to feel more uplifted and really motivated and dedicated to the healing journey. So I was studying and I started to explore different diets and I started to develop my own cleansing systems and just started to experiment with my body every single day, using every single meal as a new opportunity for medicine. So then I started to see some progress, in which I got my first period after 14 months without having a period. And my acne was very slowly clearing, still inflamed, but it was getting better. My hair was still falling out in cycles and there was some body hair on my body. Although my digestion was improving, my energy was better. I could actually work out at the gym again without feeling totally depleted and exhausted. And everything else just seemed to be improving. Like my state of being, like my vibration was raising. I was getting better. And so I went and did this, you know, this happened for about 16 months. And then it just got to the point where my intuition came in once more. And I had that feeling, that knowing within me every time I meditated. All I could see was the rice fields in Bali, and I could see palm trees and me like walking around barefoot. And I just knew, that my stint in New York was over and was coming to completion. And I knew that I was going to be packing up all of my things and leaving my job and leaving my visa behind and even leaving my beautiful relationship behind. And it was time to move and relocate to a place in which I could completely devote myself to healing my body. So whilst I was afraid to leave this weird comfort zone I had discovered in New York, despite feeling really claustrophobic and depressed and lonely there, I still felt comfortable. You know, I didn't want to leave in many ways. I wanted to stay safe. I didn't want to take a risk of, oh, but how am I going to, you know, have enough money and where am I going to go? And am I safe to travel on my own? You know, all of those risk factors that came up. But the intuition and the intuitive knowing was just too strong. And it just said, no, you have to just go commit to healing. So I left for Bali and ended up on this wild journey. You know, I lived in Bali for 3 months and I didn't leave my room for the first 3 days. I just cried and I was just like integrating. It was like everything that happened in New York was just integrating in Bali. And for those of you who have been or heard of Bali, you'll know that the energy in Bali is insane. We call it Mama Bali because it's like this big maternal mothering energy in which you go there and it's just so healing because you just go and it's just like healing and balance automatically just take place in your system. So I went there and just worked on my body and worked with being with my emotions and just did yoga and all of these amazing things like breath work and anything that was going to bring me back into balance and harmony within. And through that process of being in Bali, my period came perfectly, like 31 days or 34 days every single month, no breast pain, no cramps, you know, just a very normal bleed. My hair completely stopped falling out at this point. Acne started to completely disappear and weight became stable. So I officially became symptom free. And then it was just the process of deepening into that healing journey, which I did all over the world after that. You know, I lived in India for 6 months. I lived in Thailand for a little while, lived in Costa Rica. And here I am now continuing this huge journey of healing and getting to know myself and sharing any wisdom that I've stumbled across with other beautiful souls on this planet who are also feeling so lost and confused, just like I was once upon a time. So I've hit my lowest of low moments, thinking that I can't go on anymore and I can't continue living this life. And then I've started to hit my highest of high moments. And now, you know, I travel the world. This is my life. And I am just immersed in creativity and just being with nature and feeding my body the most beautiful alive plant foods. And I work with beautiful women all over the world who I become very close friends with through coaching them as well. And not only that, but I get to watch all of these women in my online program move through very similar journeys of healing and mental and spiritual awakening. So I literally get to watch this most magical journey that I've just been on unfold in other people's realities. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful for this life. I'm so grateful for my PCOS. I'm so grateful for the lows and everything that I learned. And I know it was all so perfect. And I can't even tune into the perspective that I'm a victim of PCOS anymore. I know it all happened for me and it changed my life for the better in every way possible. And every single woman who is listening right now who has had a similar experience with PCOS or they're in the thick of it, please know what is possible. You can alchemize this pain and insecurity and suffering into your greatest achievement in life. And it can take you places you had no idea you were even capable of going, because PCOS will test you on every level of your existence. It will test all of those programs you have around what it means to be beautiful, what it means to be a woman, what it means to be all kinds of things. You know, every single mental assumption and program you hold within yourself will be challenged throughout this process, and it may well be the hardest thing you ever face, but it will also be the most beautiful thing that you ever face, as long as you choose to be a powerful being. You know, as long as you choose not to be overrun by it and be the victim, when you take radical self-responsibility that this could all be happening for you and not to you, then that's when everything is going to start transforming before your eyes, I promise. So to end our very first episode of The Nature of You, I want to really just touch on what healing means for me and what this has been about for me. Because healing is not just about the physical body, my loves. You know, healing is about coming into alignment. Coming into alignment with who you truly are. Healing is balancing the body with the mind and with your soul and spirit. And through finding that balance and that harmony, then you just become completely whole. Not just whole as in balanced with hormones, but whole as in like emotionally balanced, mentally balanced. You feel you know what your purpose is here in life. you feel you understand what it is you are here to do, be, and experience. Remember that the body, mind, and the soul are not separate things, and to believe that they are separate and to only focus on healing your body, I assure you it will lead you around and around in circles, and it's not a fun place to be because it's very stagnant and you just feel like you're not getting anywhere. Like you get a little somewhere and then you plateau. You know, it's just not the way we heal the body. The body has got to be healed from the perspective that it is a holistic point of view. So, beautiful ones, this is the first episode of The Nature of You, and we're going to be talking everything from finding yourself and your true essence and your passions, your creativity, and your most natural body and its state beyond all of the obstruction and destruction that has been caused over the years of your life thus far. I love you all so much. Until next time.